A familiar passage to this congregation. Hard to believe it's been a year. I spent the month of October last year in one verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I spent a month there. I actually preached six messages from that, which later we printed, and of course it was a lot of it was concerning the things that we were facing and some things that we're heading into. Little did we know how true some of that would be. We talked about last fall how there was no political answer in sight for the problems of this nation, and how that rather than grabbing hold of the bumper and hanging on, we better grab a hold of God in the days ahead. I'm interested what the Bible says. Look with me in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The Bible says this phrase, then will I hear from heaven. Look at the phrase. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This morning I'd like to expound the four things that are found here that the Bible says we're to do. We're to humble ourselves. We are to pray. We are to seek God's face and we're to turn from our wicked ways. I want to look at some things that will cause, that will hinder us and will hinder God hearing from heaven. Let's bow our heads together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd help us this morning. May we be found faithful, and Lord, may our prayers find a lodging place in the throne room as a result of our having been here today. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. Be turning to several passages this morning to be able to look at what the Scripture says. The Bible says, and turn from our wicked ways. We typically think as wicked ways, we think of that as an action. But can I tell you that, we get up every morning and go our way. And can I tell you that you can have things on the inside that do not necessarily manifest themselves on the outside? And the Scripture addresses that truth in Psalm 66 and in verse number 18. The Bible doesn't say if I regard iniquity out in the open where everybody can see it. The Bible doesn't say if I regard iniquity toward my neighbor. The Bible doesn't say if I regard iniquity and have the law after me. The Bible says if I regard iniquity, where? In my heart. The Scripture says the Lord will not hear me. And the Bible says if we turn from our wicked ways. Can I tell you that the first thing that'll shut up heaven, I mean it'll nail up the doors of heaven to us and we'll not be able to get through, are the unconfessed wicked passions of our heart. It will cause heaven to be brass. And somebody said, well, preacher, you just don't know what I've been through. That's true, I don't. Well, preacher, you just don't know what somebody did to me. It's true, I don't. But can I tell you this? One thing I do know, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Bible says that's as far as you're going concerning your hearing from heaven. You're not going to hear from heaven. If you did a survey, and they did a survey, the Barna Group did a survey and asked, how many people pray? How many people believe in prayer? And there was a large percentage said, we believe in prayer. There was asked the next group, how many people do you pray daily? And they were, again, it was a lower number, but there was a people who said, we pray daily. And then there was a group that says, how many people, then they asked, how many people think that God hears your prayer? And the number got even smaller. And then they asked, how many believe that God answers your prayer? And it was scary how few people in America believe that God answers prayer, their prayers. They don't have any confidence in their prayer life because they've never seen God answer prayers. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. There's no reason for that. Somebody said, well, I don't have a college education. The Bible doesn't say that if you don't have a college education, I'll not hear you. Somebody said, well, I don't have the books of the Bible memorized. Nowhere is that in the Bible. Is that a prerequisite for having your prayer answered? Can I tell you, it's within the reach of every man, woman, boy, and girl. It's in the reach of every person. And that is that we have a heart clean toward God. And we confess the passions of our heart before Almighty God. And therefore, we don't regard iniquity in our heart. Iniquity is a broad word. But basically, it means anything that's in violation of the holiness of God. There's another word in Scripture that means to miss the mark. It's used, the word is typically used for sin. It means to miss the mark. It means to go amiss and to miss the mark. But the word iniquity, it actually has the idea of defiling or violating the holiness of God. And a lot of people don't understand that when we miss the mark, we have indeed violated the holiness of God Almighty. My friend, it's not just a sin against our neighbor. It's not just a sin against somebody, a sin against our husband or wife. My friend, it's a sin against the holiness of God Almighty. Well, he deserved it. Well, can I tell you that God didn't deserve it? And it's his holiness that we have violated. And so, unconfessed passions, if I regard iniquity and my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But I'm going to give you one that gets a little closer home, Matthew 5:23. The Bible says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now listen to what it said. It didn't say if you remember you got something against your brother. It says if your brother has aught against thee. We got this totally backwards. So, well, I didn't start it. I didn't do it. Therefore, I don't know. I'm good. That's not what the Scripture says. The Bible says if your brother hath aught against thee, the Bible says leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Bottom line, that cross has two bars on it, directions, two beams. And my friend, even though it's the shorter one, the one that goes side to side, my friend, we can't go the one that's vertical until we take care of the one that's horizontal. And so if we have unsettled problems in our life and unsettled problems in our heart, I find that it comes up when you go to pray. And I find that you go to thinking about it when you go to pray. And my friend, if it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up, I can tell you that you need to fix it and you need to take care of it. I've used this illustration before, but years ago, I worked at a place and they were really big on giving to this certain organization. And boy, they wanted everybody to give. As a matter of fact, I found out later that the boss man's, what his raise was, or what his, he really didn't call it a raise, I guess it was his bonus. He was on a salary, which wasn't much, but his bonus annually was pretty amazing, and he was over a whole district, and his bonus was made up of a number of things, and one of them was if he had full participation of everybody given to this same charity, and if he had 100%, then he got the full bonus. If he didn't get 100%, then he didn't get the bonus, and it was dollars and cents to him, so much so that later in time, he gave money in my name, and I got this nice thank you letter from this charity for this money I'd given him. And I knew good and well that I didn't give him nothing, because here's why. Years ago, before I was touched by the emotion. I went in, I saw the video, I got the appeal, and I checked the little box on the card because everybody else did. And then I got to looking into it, and that crowd supported all kind of junk. And I said, I ain't paying that. I ain't supporting that. I ain't giving to that. I'm not about to give to that. Every time I'd get down to pray, that thing would fly up in my face. I'd say, but Lord, I'm doing right. I don't know that. That's wicked. I don't know that. I can't support that. And that little phrase in the Old Testament said, better not vow and break it. That just kept coming before my eyes again and again and again and again. You know, finally, I had to pay that stinking pledge. I regretted every day of it. I wished I hadn't ever done it. But I promise you this, I never made another one. But I paid that thing even though, but you know what? It went away. Once I settled it, once I paid it, once I got that thing out from in front of me, it went away. And when I prayed, I didn't get that as a red light blinking in my face every time. Can I tell you, unsettled problems will keep God from hearing from heaven. So unconfessed passions regarding iniquity. aught with your brother. That'll keep you from being heard from heaven. Let me give you the third one. The scripture says in John chapter number 15, verse number 7, if ye abide in me, and the scripture says, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and this verse rhymes, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. Now, look what's conditional for us to be able to ask what you will and it shall be done. What is the conditional phrase at the beginning of that verse? The Bible says, abide in me and my words abide in you. Just simply put, God has given us a pattern which to follow. And my friend, when we deviate from the pattern, when the Lord doesn't abide in us and we don't abide in His Word, my friend, what makes us think that God is somehow obligated to answer our prayers just because we ask? And somehow God's obligated. My friend, if you don't believe the Word enough for it to abide in you, then how can you claim the Word when it comes to your needs and God meeting your needs? Somebody said, preacher, is that the reason I don't get my prayers answered? It very well could be. I do know this. It's hard to pray when you got something that you know is not right, when you know there's something wrong in your life. I mean, it's hard to pray. I have people who have come to me many times and said, preacher, this such and such bad happened in my life. Do you think it's because of something that I did? And it's kind of a trick question. But my answer is always, well, what have you done? That's not what they wanted to hear. But that's what I'll say. What have you done? Because usually it's a sign of guilt. Because when something bad happened, immediately they referred to this. There was a time in my life to where I decided I couldn't afford to tithe. I just couldn't afford it. I would later, but I couldn't now. I believed in it, I just wasn't practicing it. I was not practicing that pattern in my life. Every stinking flat tire, it would come up before me. Well, you didn't tithe this week. Every time my battery was dead, well, you didn't tithe this week. Every time one of those children gets sick, I have to go to the doctor. Somebody said, well, preacher, you ought not feel guilty about that. Well, if I'd have been doing what I was supposed to, I wouldn't have had no reason to feel. But here's what I'm saying. It kept coming up. Somebody said, preacher, do you really believe your kids got sick because you didn't tithe? I didn't say that. I just said that every time something bad happened, it always flew back on me that I wasn't living according to the principles and the pattern of God's Word. And it was ever before me. And I wasn't sure if it was. I wasn't sure if it wasn't. And I couldn't tell. But can I tell you, I've been saved a little longer now. But when something befalls me out of the ordinary, I'll do a quick little checkup. Checkbook, everything paid? Yep, everything paid. Tithe, everything pious paid. Have I gotten anything? No, I'm paid tithe on it. Okay, the finances, okay. Is there anything else, Lord? Is there anything else that I'm missing here? Sometimes the reason that you get a flat tire is because your neighbor put shingles on his house and one of them fell off in your driveway and there was a tack sticking up and you got a nail in your tire. I mean, it's your sorry neighbor that made you have a flat tire, okay? But on the flip side, sometimes maybe the reason that nail didn't land face down or face up was because, and we'll never know till we get to the glory world. Because there's a 50-50 chance of it lighting down and a 50-50 chance of it standing up. But it seems like when you don't tithe, it always stands up. I tell you what really hurts. Used to be, son, we'd plug a tire. It didn't matter where it was. We'd plug a tire. We'd carry them old tire plugs with us. We'd go to the tire store. We'd plug. Now they won't let you plug a front tire, especially on any kind of commercial vehicle. You can't plug a tire. Boy, I tell you what really hurts is when you get something in the front tread or in the sidewall and they won't boot it, they won't patch it, they won't fix it, and now it's a $500 commercial tire on the front of the bus or on the front of one of the big trucks. Take a deep breath. That does hurt. It was rough when it was $35 years ago. It's big time painful when it's $500 today. But can I tell you, even in the ministry, even in what we're doing, when, I mean, we have opposition to everything we do. Don't get me wrong. There's always something going wrong. But I guess it's part of our human nature, part of that old guilt that's in us. I do a running inventory. Now, Lord, are we doing right? When something befalls us, something's wrong. Lord, are you trying to change our direction? Is something not right? Lord, what have we done? Are we outside the book? What is it that we've done that we're not supposed to be doing? And sometimes you get confirmation. No, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And then there's times that you get the message, well, maybe we need to change. Maybe we need to change right here. Maybe right here is a reason for us to look at to go a little different direction and go a little different way. 2 years ago this month, we totaled two big trucks at the same time. Total two. Somebody said, was that because of anything? Don't seem to be. But here's the deal. We've been renting ever since. We just exercise and caution. And I said, Lord, you know, somebody could have been killed in that accident. One of our trucks, we were towing it with another big truck. And the thing we were towing with broke. And one of the trucks come out and passed the other one. It was loaded. It come out around and passed the other truck on a two-lane road. And we end up T-boning it. Totaled both trucks. That road was a road that's used by school buses. And had it been a couple of hours different time frame, a loaded truck without a driver that's running 55 miles an hour with nothing, it broke loose and it's going down the highway at 55. It passed our truck and then cut in front of us and we hit it. What if that had been a loaded school bus? Hear what I'm telling you. It caused me to stop, pause, step back, and let's look at the situation. I can tell you this. The money we've spent on rental trucks this existing year, I mean, the rental trucks love it when we got rid of our big trucks. As a matter of fact, they're going to name it after us, you know. They're going to name a truck after us. We just about bought a whole new truck. And we've been discussing that as much money as we've spent this year and as much as we've leased and as much as we were. My soul, in the morning, we'd have saved a lot of money to have had a big truck. But here's my point. When you have things befall you and you're not sure, hey, I'm saying to you, be very careful and make sure that you look. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. This FM and all the problems we've had with it, the only thing that's ever been a bigger obstacle than building the FM was building that warehouse down there. And that warehouse went on forever. We were over 5 years with that rascal. I mean, to the point that we put the steel in the air and it rusted because we couldn't get the roof on it. And it went on and on and on. And every time I'd touch anything, it just turned to mud, literally turned to mud. And we spent all the money. We had the whole budget for the property, the whole building, the whole budget was spent underground. And then here we sit. And boy, there was a time, Brother Blanton, Brother Gary, when we were down there mudding them trenches out with Joel, every stinking morning. It'd rain every night. We'd have to go in there and mud. We was trying to pour concrete, and we couldn't pour because they were full of water. We'd have to pump them things out. Wore a pump out trying to pump them footers out. And then you'd get wider. Every day they'd cave in and get wider, cave in and get wider, cave in and get wider. We got footings down there you could drive a car on. You ain't never seen such footings as we got down there. I mean, it was a never-ending thing. It went on and on and on and on. And there was a time I couldn't see the end of the tunnel. Looking back, we just celebrated 10 years in that warehouse. And probably over 10 million pounds of product has been given out to the surrounding counties. Looking back, hallelujah, it was a good decision. It was a blessed decision. And I'm grateful for the decision. But boy, there was a time. Now, I'll just tell you, I'd stand there and look at all that and wonder, Lord, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? So the pattern of Scripture, I'm going to call it the unused pattern. Let's move ahead. Not only unconfessed passions and unsettled problems, but an unused pattern, abiding in the Word. Can I tell you, unauthorized petitions, God's not obligated to hear them. What will cause me not to be heard in heaven? The Bible says, in the book of James chapter 4, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. Verse 3 of chapter 4 of the book of James, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Amiss means exactly what it sounds like. We ask amiss, off target. We ask for something that's not on target in God's will. Listen to this. That you may consume it upon your own lusts. There's a health and wealth crowd running around saying that God's obligated to hear and answer any prayer that you have. And all you have to do, if you want a Cadillac, just tell God what color you want, and God's obligated to give it to you. My Bible tells me that God's not obligated to give me anything that I consume it upon my own lusts. And yet the Scripture says that if in the book of Proverbs, that if the desires of our heart are where they ought to be, that God will give us the desires of our heart. The Scripture says, delight thyself also in the Lord. So if our delight, what makes us happy, is what makes Him happy. If what we like is what He likes. If our will is His will. If those things line up, the Bible says, I delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If we have the right desires. But if we're consuming it upon our own lust, my friend, that's considered an unauthorized petition. Do you ever go to get in something and it says unauthorized password? And you can't get in? Problem is, you're the one put it in. You can't remember what the password is to get in. Some of you looking at me, you don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, I set it up so that nobody could get into it. And boy, it really works good. Because I can't get into it. And then what really scares me is when it says, one unsuccessful try. Two unsuccessful tries. Three unsuccessful. What is it, blow up on the fourth one? I don't know. Does it blow up in your face? I don't know what. I always turn it off. I never will go no further. I'm scared to. I don't know what the results is going to be. But can I tell you, unauthorized attempt. And I did it with my banking account the other day. And I was trying to get it. And I don't know. I just typed it in. It said, wrong. And I typed it in again. And it said, unauthorized attempt. Wrong. And I go, well, it's got to be this. And I typed it in. And it said, call the bank. It locked my account down. And what it was, it thought somebody was trying to hack into my account. And it was me. And I couldn't even, and I had to call the bank and tell them, I'm sorry, I did it. Don't arrest me. I was trying to get into my account. I had brain freeze. I could not think of what it was. And they go, oh, it happens all the time. No problem. Do you want us to change your account to something that you can remember? I said, no, I don't want you to do that. Well, that's a gum, isn't it? I'm talking about unauthorized access. Well, can I tell you that there are unauthorized petitions according to the Scripture, those things that we asked amiss, that in turn we might consume it upon our own lusts. No, sir. I'm sorry, that don't work that way. There was a preacher in our area. He actually had a television program, and he was the thing years ago. And he was married and had kids. And he got up and announced that he was leaving his wife and kids, and that this woman was leaving her wife and husband because he had been praying that God would give them a singing ministry. And so God had broke up two families to put them two together so they could have a singing ministry. By the way, he died like a fool dies. He died like Abner died. It wasn't long. He knocked his brains out. But here, I want to explain something to you. God don't answer that kind of prayer. You might say, well, if my prayer was answered, it might have been. But can I tell you, God's not the only one that answers prayer. The devil answers a lot of prayers. And I believe the devil probably answered that one. Because certainly nothing came out of it. It was unauthorized. It was amiss. And that he might consume it upon his own lusts. And so, what keeps me from heaven, preacher? What keeps me from hearing from heaven? Unconfessed passions regarding iniquity. Unsettled problems, aught against our brother. Unused patterns, not abiding in the Lord, and the Lord abiding in us. Unauthorized positions, petitions. The Bible says, asking amiss. Can I say it this way? Unkept principles. 1 John chapter 3, John the Beloved saying, Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Confidence toward God. Confidence toward God. Can I just say it this way? That very similar to the patterns that we talk about. There are some principles that are in play. And if we don't keep those principles, my friend, we can't graduate. We can't go on. Can I tell you, if we regard iniquity in our heart, we can't go on. We can't move up. People say, well, I need you to pray for this or I need you to pray for that. There comes a place in our lives, the only thing we can pray for is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The only thing we can pray for is, God, forgive me for those things that are blocking, standing between me and you. There are times in our lives, my friend, that we're in no shape to intercede on everybody else's behalf because we have unkept principles in our own life. Here's one that everybody likes. 1 Peter 3:7. A lot of people don't even know this is in the Bible. Talking about husband-wife relationships, likewise your husbands, dwell with them, talking about the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, look what the Bible says, that your prayers be not hindered. You won't have your prayers answered? Honor your partner. And by the way, it works both ways. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. If I ain't right with my wife, I ain't going to get nowhere in the pulpit. If I ain't right with my wife, I ain't going to get nowhere in the throne room. You can't argue and fuss and fight and then go to your prayer closet and pray and expect to ring the bells of heaven. It ain't going to happen. It goes back to that same thing of being right with the brethren. But how much more should we have to be right with our spouses? Can I just say it this way? I have very little confidence in some folks' prayers because I ain't heard them speak a kind word to one another in years. Hello? I haven't. And so if you want a prayer warrior, find you a widow. You'll get that in a minute. Or a widower. Y'all still don't get it. These kids looking, where's the punchline? Unhonored partners. Can I tell you, if you're not right, if your house ain't right, you're not right in your relationship one with another, hear what I'm going to tell you. You're not going to be right when it comes to the throne of heaven. I've shared this with you, that my wife had made a profession as a younger child, and I'd not gotten right until later. But there was something missing in our house, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure it out. And I'd been preaching almost a year. We'd been on Turkey Pin Gap praying back in the laurel thicket. One night it was about zero. We got back in there praying. Boy, I tell you, God came. We shook hands with every laurel bush on the side of that hill. And boy, God came. And God met with us in such a powerful way. I come in about midnight from praying on the gap of the ridge, and I walked into a dark house because the baby is asleep, didn't want to wake my wife, and I walked in and it scared me. She grabbed me and jerked me to the floor and said, pray with me. And so we prayed, and I didn't know exactly what we was praying for, but we prayed, and boy, she is a calling on God. And we prayed. I'd just come from prayer meeting, so that was the right thing. You know, hey, hallelujah, let's pray. She got saved that night. Now, she was already a preacher's wife. She was a good person. But there was something different. I mean, there was just something in our house. I never could figure out what, just kind of a block between us on the spiritual aspect. We got along great, everything was good, but there's just something that wasn't quite right with us on the spiritual realm. And the bottom line was, we at that point, we were unequally yoked. I saved, she wasn't. Now, she was a far better person than I was. But when I got in, she wasn't saved. What I'm trying to say is it'll hinder your prayers, all right? I'm talking about unhonored partners. And let me give you one more, and we'll be finished. Can I tell you that unbelieving prayers will cause you not to hear from heaven? The book of Mark, chapter number 11, verse number 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now let's look at that phrase again. What does it say? What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Somebody said, well, there goes my Cadillac, right? I get to claim whatever color I want. In light of the other scriptures, there are those other parameters that are placed upon it. But the idea here is not a name it and claim it, but the idea is praying unbelieving prayers. Brother Whittemore tells about, I think it was his grandpa, they had had a drought back on Rims Creek. And the creeks is about dried up, the crops is about dried up, everything about dried up. And they called, I think it was a Saturday evening, to have a prayer meeting at the church to pray for rain. And said when Grandpa come across the foot log, he had an umbrella in his hand. And some of the people actually laughed at him. Some of the people actually said, well, you must really believe this is going to work. And he said, don't you? Ain't that why we gathered? Did we not gather to pray for rain? Well, if we believe God's who he is, and if we're who we say we are, and we need rain, and we've not got anything in our lives to prevent God from giving us rain, it is not God's will for our children to starve to death. It's not God's will for our crops and our animals to dry up and die. And we have to have them for our livelihood. He said, I believe if we pray, we ought to pray for rain. I believe we ought to be prepared. Brother Whittemore said his grandpa had to put the umbrella up. As he crossed the footlog on the way home, he had to put the umbrella up. It was raining before they got back to the house. One of the most severe droughts they'd had in years. Can I tell you, we pray for this and pray for that and pray for the other. And when God answered, we're kind of shocked. Kind of surprised. We got, well, wait a minute. What's that about? Over a year ago, we met with a congressman. Downstairs, we had a group of people gather, a group of preachers gather, specifically a private meeting to talk with a congressman about a very serious matter in Washington. It was so serious that the Washington Post showed up outside the back door of this building to cover that meeting. And I asked the sheriff of this county to stand in the door and not let that man in the building. And even the congressman said, well, you know, he's shadowing me and I don't know what to do. And I said, I can tell you exactly what to do. This is a private meeting. It was invitation only. He is not invited. He's not coming in the building. And the sheriff said, if that's what you say, that's what it'll be. I said, that's what it is. He's not coming in. Because we've got to talk about some things that are private. The congressman said, it's a real deal. He said, I'm in trouble. He said, I'm in real trouble. He said, I've taken a stand. And he said, I'm going to get run off because of it. Would y'all pray? He said, I've called on the leader of my own party to step down. It's not been done in over 100 years. He said, but the leader of our party is as corrupt as anybody. And said, I have turned on against the party and I've called on him to step down. And he said, they are after my head. He said, gentlemen, I need your prayers. He said, I feel like I was led of the Lord to do it. He said, I sat at the breakfast table and I'd already researched that this could be done. He said, I sat at the breakfast table on my birthday and said, we'd prayed about it and we got through praying and my wife said, honey, I'm willing to ride around in the belly of this fish with you as long as you want to. Jonah, ride around the belly of the fish. And he said, I knew right then this was the day. And he went to the parliamentarian of the United States Congress and he filed a motion to vacate. And there was only 3 days left in the rest of the term before fall break. And so nothing was really done. They couldn't do a whole lot in that short of time. And our congressman met with preachers downstairs. There's 32 of us. And he said, gentlemen, if you've ever called on the God of heaven, I need you to call on God. He said, because there's just a handful of us that know the Lord up there. And he said, I'm in real trouble. Those men prayed. And we prayed specifically. And my prayer was the same thing I put in the book. God, use them. God, reprove them. And Lord, if they won't be used and they won't be reproved, God, remove them according to your will. Rather than our congressman getting thrown out, the third most powerful man in America, the man who is heir to the presidency in the event the president and vice president are incapacitated, the person who would stand as the president, third most powerful man in America, voluntarily resigned his office without a fight. On Meet the Press the following Sunday morning, he said, I felt led of the Lord to resign. That man ain't never been led of the Lord for nothing. He wouldn't know God. If you met him in the middle of the highway, he would not know God. But that's what it was his words, wasn't mine. It was his words. It was his words. I felt led of the Lord to resign. And I told some of the guys that were, I said, our prayers were answered. Our prayers were answered. And they go, yeah, right. And I go, what do you mean? You really think that we had something to do with that? I said, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together. We had 32. And we prayed according to God's will. We prayed for God's will to be done. We prayed God use them, God reprove them, or God remove them. And hallelujah, he's gone. What do you think? They said, well, yeah, I guess. I said, remind me not to invite you to an important prayer meeting next time, all right? Prayer meetings are for believers, amen? Man, I don't need any unbelievers. I got enough of that. I need a believer. Praise God. I mean, you know, made me plumb aggravate. I mean, hey, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that the reason that we don't hear from heaven is because we don't believe what we pray. We pray unbelieving prayers. The Lord said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and shall seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then, three things, what will I hear from heaven? Scripture says, forgive their sin, heal their land. But can I tell you, the number one thing is hearing from heaven. And if God hears from heaven, then he will forgive our sin and heal our land. And the reason God's not hearing from heaven is because we have unconfessed passions. If I regard iniquity in my heart, unsettled problems, reconcile with your brother, unused patterns, my word abide in you, unauthorized petitions, ask amiss, unkept principles. If you keep my commandments, unbelieving, unhonored partners, that your Bible says give honor, that your prayers be not hindered. Unhonored partners, and then unbelieving prayers. Bible says believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. This group's been praying for a year for God to intervene on behalf of this nation. But I can tell you there's a whole lot of people give up a while back because of what somebody said on the news or what the polls said or whatever said. You hear what I'm telling you? Every heartbeat of everybody is in the hand of the King. And can I tell you that God, if he got the hairs on our heads numbered, don't you think he got our heartbeats numbered as well? He may not choose to. But listen to me. If we have prayed and been able to pray and have gotten our prayers through, we may be a little outfit. Bible doesn't say that it took a big outfit. Didn't say if the homosexuals, the adulterers, and the abortionists would get right with God. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do these things, then will I hear from heaven. I'm still expecting a word from heaven just any day. So what's going to happen on the 9th if you don't hear from heaven? I'm going to get up, brush my teeth, sing Amazing Grace, and go on about my business. Because we spent time asking God for the needs of our nation. David Gibbs sent me a text last night. And he said, could you get your congregation to pray 1 hour, fast and pray 1 hour between now and the election? I believe we can get that done. Maybe many people in this place have been fasting and praying 1 hour a week for the past 52 weeks. Got 50 hours invested thus far praying over this nation, over this election. I honestly am expecting God to hear an answer. Don't necessarily mean it's going to be what we think or what we want. We ain't been specific. We've been praying God use them, God reprove them, or God remove them. And God knows the future. I don't. And God knows what we need. And we are leaving it in the hands of a sovereign God. Why? Because we've asked. Because we've asked. We're going to do all we can. We're going to do our part. We're going to vote. But can I tell you that God setteth up kings, and he takes down kings. And I don't care what political party or what position, they are no match for the sovereignty of Almighty God. He'll have the last word in the last day, rest assured.